Welcome to the Best Science Medicine Podcast, BS without the BS. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 389th episode of the Best Science Medicine Podcast. My name is James McCormack, and I'm a professor with the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the University of British Columbia.
I'm Mike Allen. I'm a family doctor and the director of program and practice support with the College of Family Physicians of Canada and a professor at the University of Alberta. And in the room with me is Dr. Lynn Blad.
I thought you were going to forget my name.
No, sometimes she goes by Adrian.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes, but she prefers not. You prefer if I address you as Dr. Lynn Black?
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially
as,
you, Mike.
As you should.
As you should. Yeah.
And in keeping with my history, I thought that this podcast would last how long, James?
Less than one episode.
I hoped it would last. I thought it would last about 10 and we'd be done. I wasn't sure how long Tools for Practice would go, and I told Tina that researching Dr. Oz was a bad idea.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have a rich history of thinking that things are bad ideas when they're actually good ideas. So just like the isopropyl alcohol, you came to me with this idea. And what was the clinical question, Adrian?
The clinical question was, are cabbage leaves effective in managing breast engorgement due to breastfeeding?
And I set a task for the three of us as we embark on this podcast to not say anything inappropriate that would lead to another visit to human resources for us.
So in other words, Mike and I will be completely mute. But no, it's a really interesting question, because again, very similar to the isopropyl alcohol swabs, I had no idea that that had any impact. And obviously, you know, Adrian, you have a weird source of where you find your journal information, but what a cool and interesting question. So why don't you sort of lead us down that pathway? And actually maybe, again, tell us why where you found this.
Well, the weird source of information in this case was Tina Koronic. So
okay.
This is something that, I've had three kids, and after every kid, this is promoted that if your breasts are engorged, you got to just shove cabbage leaves in your bra to get rid of it. And I always kind of went, no, that doesn't sound right. But Tina actually came across an RCT of this, and we laughed about it, and we're like, wow, someone actually did an RCT. And then we looked further and found someone did a systematic review even. So we went, wow, there's a lot of people who have been very interested in cabbage leaves. And that's kind of how this whole little story started. And yeah, we even trying to come up with a title for this Tools for Practice was great fun, because we wanted something that was reflective of the question and caught your attention, but hopefully didn't offend anyone. Mm-hmm. And we went with, is that cabbage in your bra? And Mike was convinced, again, that that was going to cause letters to human resources. But
So far, none.
And this was published like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. So
but this podcast may actually induce those letters. Otherwise, staying mute. Adrian,
yeah,
over to you.
So okay.
But this is a great example of, I remember hearing this in different CPD seminars. It might have even been all the way back in residency, which is now over 20 years. And so I, of course, did not believe this. And here there is actual randomized control trial evidence.
Absolutely.
And we're so ready, or I'm so ready to dismiss things often without without understanding that some of these things aren't just beliefs or anecdotal. They're actually supported by a randomized trial. So,
they are, absolutely.
So take us through this fascinating area of research.
So what we found is there was a RCT of about 227 women from Singapore. They were about within 14 days postpartum, and they were all breastfeeding. And they randomized them to three groups. They could be randomized to application of cabbage leaves, which were chilled, a cold gel pack, or routine care. And in this case, routine care was just education by a lactation consultant. They applied the interventions if they had the cabbage leaves, the gel packs, for about 2 hours. Then the women took a 30-minute break, and then they applied them again. And what they found is they first looked at pain, and compared to routine care, this is just education by a consultant, cabbage decreased pain on a 10-point scale at 30 minutes, 1 and 2 hours by about 0.4 to 1 points out of 10. So that's kind of borderline clinically meaningful in terms of what patients could be able to detect.
But not dissimilar to what you'd get with like an NSAID or a Tylenol 3 or an acetaminophen tablet. Like these are kind of in that range often.
You mean when you use that for sort of acute pain?
Any kind of discomfort pain, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so boring, clinically meaningful. Cabbage also decreased breast hardness, and this was according to the Breast Engorgement Assessment Scale. I bet you didn't know that such a scale existed, but it does.
Again, I'm going to stay completely mute.
Yeah, good plan.
And if I did know it existed, I wouldn't say so.
So if you need it, we'll provide the human resources contact information at the end of the podcast. Oh, this is one of these topics you have to understand. When we do this research, we'll often do presentations, and there's certain ones you can never Google search for funny things.
No.
Remember, Mike Kolber had a patient one time that he thought was a great case, and she rode motorcycles, so he Googled biker chick. I think, or something like that, and of course was quite surprised at a university setting to find pictures that were more than inappropriate.
Yes.
So anyway, yeah, so we have a file on human resources. So okay, please go ahead.
Right. So anyways, this breast engorgement assessment scale, it's a 6-point scale, and cabbage decreased breast hardness by about 0.2 to 0.4 compared to routine care. Probably not a clinically detectable difference. But they also compared cabbage to the gel packs, to the chill gel packs, and they found that cabbage decreased pain at 2 hours after the second application, but not the first, by about 0.5. Other time points, no difference. So about the same efficacy as the gel pack. Cabbage also decreased breast hardness at 2 hours, again after the second application, again by about 0.4, likely not clinically detectable again. They also looked at breastfeeding rates at 3 to 6 months, didn't find any differences there. But I think what's really interesting here is they looked at women's satisfaction. And they found more women were either satisfied or highly satisfied with cabbage at about 99% of women, compared to routine care at 70% or gel packs at 81%. So that gives you a number you need to treat of about 4 to 6.
This is, so we often complain in research that they're studying so many outcomes, of course they're gonna find something important. But I would argue that patient satisfaction with treatment may be the only outcome that we need for these kind of symptomatic conditions. Maybe return to function, that kind of thing. But that outcome may well trump the, and I know we shouldn't use that word either, that'll get in trouble with human resources.
Especially with this topic.
Oh God, that will be deleting.
No, we won't delete it because Adrian said it.
Oh, nice.
Okay, moving on. These outcomes are probably more meaningful in lots of ways than subtle changes in pain scores, hardness scores, and all of the different and the different time points and all of that stuff. I think the patient satisfaction is a really key factor, and it was 99%.
Yeah. Like I would say some of that comes from where they're going, wow, this is simple. I potentially would have this at home. So there's a uniqueness to this and an ease of use. You know, you don't have to go get a gel pack and all of that sort of stuff. And I'm sure that ties into it. But again, it doesn't really matter.
And if I remember correctly, too, like one of the key things with these is their natural shape is very similar. It fits in the bra. It's very, like, it's not like a gel pack or something, some a big ice pack or something like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yep, and again, cabbage, pretty cheap, pretty widely available.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't have tons of experience with this, but I mean, are gel packs the gold standard?
That gets a little tricky in terms of what's the gold standard. A lot of times, it is recommended to have a cold gel pack. Also, using heat has also been studied in terms of trying to increase milk flow. And yeah, but none of this has really good evidence for it.
Right.
Like the best evidence is actually probably with cabbage, of all things.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so obviously there's some limitations to this study.
Well, yeah, there's a few. So obviously this isn't blinded. You can't really blind sticking cabbage leaves in your bra. It's just, you're going to know it's there. They also had very inconsistent endpoint evaluations. So sometimes the patients were evaluating themselves. Sometimes it was a nurse evaluating the patient. And then they gave us these nice changes in scale numbers, which was great. But what they didn't tell us was the number of women who actually reported a benefit. Right. And I always think that's an appropriate, a nice number to have to actually give you more of more of a context than just changes on a scale.
Right. And you're talking about the when we set a clinically meaningful change in a pain scale, which would be around 1 to 1.2, how many attained that? Because we have the how many got attained satisfaction or highly satisfied, but we didn't have the number for how many got an adequate pain relief, which is, as you point out, Adrian, that's kind of there's two components with every scale that we need, and that is what is the average change in the scale, or mean, if you like, and what is the how many attain a clinically meaningful difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this turns out to, even though probably the biggest, there are other randomized controlled trials of this.
There are. Like I said, people are really interested in CABG. So we did find a systematic review. It really looked at a number of different interventions, but we found three RCTs of about 100 women, and they were using different CABG in different ways, I guess you could say. So one randomized control trial compared chilled CABG versus room temperature CABG and found no difference. So if women feel they don't have enough room in their fridge for a head of CABG, they can just leave it on the pantry or leave it on the counter and they're just fine.
Now, these trials, though, they were three trials that combined together for 101 women.
Yeah.
So unlikely, unless there was a big difference between room temperature and chilled, mm-hmm. that you would be able to draw that out from the 30 or so women that
Absolutely.
Were in this trial.
Absolutely. But if you think about just having, I mean, if you feel a head of CABG or anything that's stored at room temperature, it's going to be colder than body temperature.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's already kind of slightly chilled anyway. But
yeah.
I think if that is a concern of women, is they have to go buy the CABG, they want to wash the CABG, they got to store it in the fridge, it's just one more step. Mm-hmm. But they can certainly try it without chilling it. Give it a shot and see if it works. Another one looked at chilled gel packs versus chilled CABG. And what they actually looked at was women's preferences. And they found 2/3 of women preferred the CABG because they found it worked quicker, whereas the other third preferred the gel packs because it lasted longer.
Mm, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And finally, there was one other study. It was probably the best quality of the three. They looked at a CABG extract cream and they compared it to placebo and they found there was no difference there. They actually blinded their outcome assessors, and they did some interesting things there. But overall, there was obviously some limitations with these studies. So that, again, they weren't blinded, the other two. They were very small studies. Another problem, which is, you just have to kind of bear with me, is looking at what they did is they randomized, instead of randomizing women to a treatment, they randomized the breast to a treatment. So one breast could get one treatment and one breast could get another treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So that can definitely cause some problems because, especially with engorgement, it's not
How are you rating
the same?
That?
Yeah, and how are you rating it the same? Are you rating it the same? How is baby feeding? Sometimes babies are going to feed different off one side or the other, and you'll have differences in outcomes. One of the studies, actually, they did a pre-test rating on both breasts together, but then the post-test ratings was on each individual breast.
Yeah.
So definitely.
But I think if you were asked to design it, I think that's probably the way that I'd suggest that you blend. You know, we see studies where you do, you know, drops in the right eye or not in the, and other drops in the left eye, or, you know, you use different types of acne cream, you know, on the right side of the face or the left side of the face. I think that's a good way to do that.
Yeah, I guess my concern is just that you're not, especially with breastfeeding, it's not going to be the same because
yeah.
you
oh,
have
no, absolutely
how,
not.
How
yeah.
baby's feeding. Absolutely, yeah.
yeah. But, you know, hopefully if it's randomized and, you know, and you don't say, you know, one side always gets this and the other side always gets that.
Yeah.
You should be able to avoid that. And I really can't believe we're talking about this, but let's keep going.
Well, I think this is a great area of research for Adrian to pursue in the future. Maybe mm-hmm. is red CABG different from green CABG?
That is a very good question.
Yeah. Now,
has anybody thought of just using coleslaw?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna, see. So I was going to go there too. Coleslaw versus kimchi.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
See, because they're both derived from cabbage. But, if you didn't know.
But then you are losing the shape.
That's right.
The natural shape of a cabbage.
It sounds like it's more. It's almost a physical thing.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it is because the creams. I suspect the cabbage cream, and it's unbelievable that there's a cabbage cream. I didn't think this was real either. So, but a cabbage cream versus a leaf, you probably would have a hard time blinding that as
yeah.
well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
yeah.
just throwing it out there.
Yeah. So just, so what's the bottom line with the context there, Adrian?
I really don't know if the cabbage needs to be chilled at all. If it is, you can chill it in the fridge for about an hour or the freezer for 15 minutes. But again, I don't necessarily think that's mm-hmm. what you need to do. That's just what some of the studies have done. We've already talked about their shape and that cabbage is available everywhere. But other treatments really, I was actually kind of surprised considering how common of an issue this is. There's very little research, especially good research that's been done with any treatment. Like we mentioned before, the hot cold packs, they've also looked at acupuncture, acupressure, but really nothing has been very well studied. CABG probably has the best evidence for it. And I never thought I would say that. about cabbage. So I mean, overall, women report higher levels of satisfaction with cabbage leaves than routine care or cool gel packs, with an extra 1 in 4, 1 in 6 reporting satisfaction. And they do reduce pain and hardness. Debatable how much clinically relevant that is.
Yeah, that's very cool. It's very cool. I mean, I love these sorts of little interesting questions, and my mind boggles to what you're going to come up with next. I mean, we've gone down a path that we may need to reverse from. But no, these are really interesting, because both of the previous podcasts that we did on isopropyl alcohol, and in this case, the breast engorgement, really common things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and such simple interventions. And it's often that I remember when I was a doctor in the forces, and we would see, surprise, surprise, blisters all the time. And you'd look up literature on whether to pop, whether to de-roof, all of that kind of stuff. No RCTs, or virtually no RCTs. Mm-hmm. And what an easy thing to do in a military setting where, you know, once you run recruits through basic training, every one of them has blisters.
Yeah, yeah.
Or virtually every one of them. So it would be such an easy little RCT of, do you pop them or leave them? And we don't, you know, and that's just one example of common conditions. And many women suffer from this very early on after the birth and the starting of breastfeeding. And, you know, we often say that, you know, natural interventions aren't any safer, but I would go as far as to say this is probably a pretty safe intervention.
Yep, I would think so.
Yeah, I don't think we don't need to look for long-term side effects.
No. Cohort studies.
Yeah.
We looked out 17 years and we couldn't find any long-term harms.
Yeah. There was rabbit infestation later on. But that was it. But so this is really cool information. So is there anything else we need to, we can't really sell any of these things, so there's no point in saying other than go to your local grocery store and get cabbage. But no, great stuff, Adrian. And I truly think you know, the Tools for Practice is a great place to throw some of these things in, because it's worth trying. And like I said, it's just like with the isopropyl alcohol, it's just something we can at least suggest with a marginal level of confidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's very cool. So I think we'll just leave it at that. So thanks as always for listening.
Talk to you later.
Bye.